It's June 5th, 2008, and this is Bedtime with Rob and Alex.
I'm Alex.
And I'm Rob, and it's been a while.
It has been a long time. I'm not quite sure why. It's, Rob is making gestures to indicate other household duties that have had to take precedence. And actually, I'm going to propose a switcheroo.
Yes.
This is a really good chance to talk about what makes for successful and consistent social media habits, which has been something that we've, I think, ebbed and flowed on, even as, or maybe because we have been providing advice to other people on how to develop their own work habits. It's kind of a classic cobbler's children have no web pages scenario.
Although we also describe this as an experimental podcast.
We did, but I'm not just thinking about the podcast. It's also been a challenge for us with blogging, that we used to be the world's greatest bloggers until we became professional social media people.
Yeah. I've also stuck the word experimental on our blog.
That's good. Maybe you could stick it on our lives.
Well, in each case, it's the first time we've tried it.
It's true. Well.
Unless you believe in
reincarnation. We won't go all meta. So, do we want to try five questions to ask yourself before launching a social media project? It's kind of like the thing you just wrote on our blog, actually.
Yeah.
But maybe we can focus on five questions in particular to ask about how the hell you're going to keep doing the damn thing.
Yeah.
So, question number one.
First question, do you feel really passionately about this subject? Because there are going to be times when the well runs dry, you are tired, you're exhausted, there are all sorts of competing demands on you. You're going to need to feel passionate enough about this subject that you're still, nonetheless, going to create some content around it.
And it doesn't just have to be, I would say a little more broadly, not just subject, but project. So some kinds of projects, like having a blog or probably a podcast that you mostly talk on yourself, require you to be passionate about a specific topic, right? Which is something you want to talk about. But other kinds of projects might be all about holding the space and inviting other people in, inviting other people to talk, inviting other people to contribute. So I think the issue then is not so much, you know, you have to be passionate about the project and passionate about inviting other people to share their ideas.
Yeah, so in a way, passionate about the conversation.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So my next question is, do you have at least 8-week supply or maybe 12-week supply of at least topics, of post-topics ready to go, and a 4-week supply of active content that isn't date-stamped? So it'll work even if it's being deployed 3 months from now. So you can think of this as the web analogy to, you know, keeping 3 months' salary in the bank.
I was thinking of the way that TV series are pitched. Nobody just buys a pilot. They want to know that there are, you know, treatments for episodes down the road. They
want to
know that this is something that can sustain itself well beyond a first season.
And, I mean, just in terms of the effort of daily life, I mean, it's true. The topics do two things. One is they provide validation that you actually have enough there for an ongoing series. I guess here we're really talking specifically about something like a video or like a content project, like a vidcast or a podcast or a blog. But, you know, equally, if you're running some kind of group conversation, you need to know that you've got lots of different things to ask the group on a regular basis. And so having your list up front is a good way of testing that. But then also, of course, it's just good to have there in case you have a crazy week and you don't have a chance to write anything.
Sure. A little life vest for you to float on for a while before the next boat comes along. My next question would be, do you have the resources to do this? It may be staffing. It may be just time set aside. But realistically, are you going to be able to pull this off?
Yeah, and that is probably the question we see people. I won't say we see people not ask it, but it's where we see people underestimate. There's such a tendency for people to say, "Oh, we have enough," when enough is based on an assumption of everybody being so excited about this that they'll just magically make the time. But it's really a good idea to do a little bit of a dry run. This is another reason, actually, to do your four-week supply of trial content or trial conversations, because it gives you a sense of how much effort it takes to go into a week. In some ways, it gets easier over time because you get better and smoother, but sometimes it can get harder because you don't have such a ready supply of topics. So how long it takes you to do your first few weeks of posts or podcasts or contests or whatever it is that you're getting queued up is a pretty good indicator. And you got to make sure you have enough actual hours, not on top of the work people are already doing, but subtracted from the work they're already doing or assigned to totally new people.
Yep.
I was going to ask, what kind of audience do you have? Do you actually have enough of an audience to make this worthwhile? And there really is. Worthwhile is totally abstract. I mean, for some people, or totally subjective. For some people, worthwhile is zero. I mean, some people truly just need to put it out there purely as an act of expression. They don't care if anybody ever reads the thing they're writing or sees their video or... Well, I mean, if you're doing a group project, you almost certainly will be annoyed if nobody comes to your Facebook group. For other people, worthwhile is, you know, I need this to ramp up to X thousand visitors by this date so that I can start getting money from Google Ads so that I can pay for my time to do this. And you just really need to know in your own head and be honest with yourself about what that number is. Give yourself some time to get there if it isn't a zero target. And then not only know the numbers, but know the kinds of people. And, you know, one of the things we often tell people is don't think of your audience as kind of categories. So, for example, think of your audience as categories of individuals, not groups. So your audience isn't nonprofits. Your audience is executive directors of nonprofits or development officers at nonprofits or volunteers at nonprofits. And your audience is not small businesses. Your audience is owners of small businesses in the Seattle area.
I'd be tempted to attach a little intention to that too on behalf of your audience. Owners of small businesses in the Seattle area who are looking to grow or who need to know about human resources because they're hiring.
It's a little mini value proposition for your audience.
Yeah. And my last question would be, do you have the buy-in within your organization to support this?
Huh.
Most organizations, you know, run on limited resources, and a crisis comes up, or it's budget time, or it's annual report time, a crunch period happens, and there are countless reasons that you're going to be distracted from pursuing this project, and people are going to try to take those resources that you've set aside and divert them to other things. You'll be tempted to be diverted to other things. Do you have the buy-in higher up as well as lower down and laterally that you're going to be able to withstand those temptations and actually deliver on this project?
That, I think, brings us in a nice circle back to where we started, which is with our own little post-it note that this was an experimental project. That is a kind of a CYA move, but it's also a really good way to launch any social media project if you have less than ironclad answers to any of the questions we just asked. Sometimes you kind of are out there, you got a gut, you feel like it's what you need to be doing. You feel like it's just you want to be publishing this Twitter feed from the Mars probe. And you don't know if it's going to pay off. But, you know, that's, you know, a great short-run initiative that you can launch and nobody expects you to keep it going year in, year out. And particularly if you define your project at the outset as something that is time limited, then you have an exit plan if it turns out to be more than you really have to put into it.
That's good. And that's actually a good question. Bonus question number 6, which is, what is your exit plan?
What is your exit plan?
When is this going to end?
Well, in our case, when it's time to go to sleep. This is a hard one because I had a lot of moments today where I really loved you.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to decide between really thinking you're cute in your new glasses. And if I may say so, I did have a bit of a moment during the vision debate tonight.
Yes.
Because I see those kinds of things through your eyes now. And I'm so conscious of how the way people speak affects the way their message is perceived. And I kind of appreciated you in two ways there. One was just seeing it. Like, it's one of those ways in which I see the world differently because I'm with you. And the other is because I so wanted you to be up there. You know, stop! Oh. Could you please reframe what you just said? Let me teach you how to deliver that message.
Oh, God. You could have done that in like three sentences.
So, but they are all terrific candidates. And I'm sure that people will hear what they have to say, even if it hasn't got the Rob Cottingham touch.
There were several moments today when I was just filled with love and admiration for your skill, your integrity, your ability to read people.
I wasn't at work today.
Mm-hmm. Well, you were, but there were times that I feel would be kind of awkward to raise because they involved clients and colleagues. And we're not that much into radical transparency.
No, it's true. We're into non-radical. Oh, we have a new acronym.
Yes.
TAP.
Yes.
What was that again?
That's transparency, authenticity, and passion.
That's the approach that you need for social media, and you were saying today in life.
And I was thinking that was, I don't know, maybe I would say, maybe I'd cheat and say, yes, and your coming up with that acronym was my moment.
But
really, my moment.
That was your moment.
Hmm?
Anyhow, go on.
My moment was just this morning when I was leaving with
Little Peanut.
Yes, Little Peanut. Codename Peanut. Because little sweetie had a touch of an upset stomach, so she was staying home this morning. And you just seemed so happy at the prospect of having a morning with little sweetie, and she
girls day
thrilled. Thrilled.
Yes. Yeah. We learned many things this morning, little sweetie and I, including you get what you pay for at the arts and crafts store.
I see.
But she did some beautiful painting, and we had a lovely morning together.
That was good. Before the paint caught fire.
Well, on that note.
On that inflammatory note.
Do we have a little sign-off? I forget.
Yeah. It's been a while, Internet.
It's been a while.
We hope you haven't
Little Sweetie has been lobbying hard. She's the one who's the most diligent podcaster around here. She's always trying to talk to the Internet.
This is true. And can I say there are a few members of our audience who've also asked when the next podcast will be, and it's appreciated. Thank you, audience. And I think that's it. We say good night.
Good night, Internet.
Good night, Internet. Good night, sweetheart.
Good night, honey.
You've been listening to Bedtime with Rob and Alex. You can find show notes and past episodes at socialsignal.com/bedtime. And if you'd like to send us your comments, your thoughts, your questions, your feedback of any kind whatsoever, just shoot it off to bedtime@socialsignal.com. And we take text comments, we take audio comments as well. Thanks for listening.